This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
I'm joined by award-winning journalist, author, documentary maker and podcaster Aoife Grace Moore. She's been the target of online abuse herself and now co-hosts the podcast Trolled. It's a space where herself and her co-host dive into the dark world of trolling with different guests from all walks of life. And Aoife, I'm so appreciative of you hopping on to have a chat with us this evening. We've been chatting a lot about trolling this week and over the last couple of weeks in general, especially with Tattle Life, you know, all of that case coming out. And I know you've been highlighting your own experiences with it as well through the years, trolling. What kind of toll has it taken on your life if people aren't familiar with your story?
Yeah, so I think initially, you know, the abuse I received online was on Twitter. I am a political journalist by trade, and I think most people are aware that Twitter was quite a toxic space, especially for politicians and journalists. So in the beginning, a lot of the death threats and rape threats, all that kind of abuse, all came from Twitter. And it was mostly men. And I spent a lot of time in Garda stations and reporting this to, you know, anybody would listen. And I got a solicitor and it was kind of nonstop. And then eventually I found out that someone had created a thread on Tattle about me as well. That was slightly different in that it wasn't about politics or my work. It was incredibly personal. So for me, it was a lot of slut-shaming, a lot of rumours. And as you kind of described there, I've been quite successful in my career. So I was Irish Journalist of the Year. I'm a best-selling author. And the vibe very much on the title was that I had slept my way to the top, that I sleep with politicians, that I had slept with a number of married politicians, that I had slept with other journalists. And it was just really negative, poisonous misinformation about me and my career and how I conduct myself. And it does, it takes a huge toll on your mental health. You lose trust in people, you avoid certain jobs. You know, when I was getting really bad abuse on Twitter, I would avoid certain TV programs if they wanted to talk about a United Ireland or the North or the Troubles, because I just didn't think it was worth the barrage of abuse that I would have got in the aftermath of it. It affects your relationships as well. I became very untrusting. I used to go to press conferences with other journalists and look at them and think, is it you? Is it you? Is it you? You watch what you say all the time. And I think, and I've talked about this a lot in the last few days in terms of the Tattle story, but for me, for the last 3 or 4 years, everything that I've posted, every bit of work that I've done, no matter what it is, I'm already trying to preempt what people are going to say about me. So my brain is already looking at things, thinking, well, my hair looks ugly in that scene in my documentary, so they'll probably give me grief about that. Or it could be anything. You know, if you go to a certain event, people say, well, she's only there because she knows this person or that person. You're already trying to guess what they're going to say about you before they've even said it. You can't help but be hypercritical of yourself because you know that other people are hypercritical of you as well. It's like being haunted by a ghost.
This experience is one that a lot of people unfortunately have gone through as well and lived with the same feelings that you're describing there. What do you think needs to change? Because we know the internet isn't going anywhere, but should there be more platform accountability, you know, laws, things like that?
Absolutely. I feel that if someone is making criminal threats or defamatory statements about you, you should have an easy, accessible way to approach a platform and ask for the IP address or the identity of the person that's sending these threats or making these statements so that you can go to the Gardaí or you can go to a solicitor. It is not good enough for the social media companies and gossip forums to make billions and billions of euro and not have any safeguarding for the users on there. It is not good enough to wash your hands of it. Anonymity on the internet is essential in certain parts of the world. Your anonymity is not as essential if you're just using that anonymity to threaten other people or make malicious claims about them that you know not to be true. I think the most poisonous thing about Tattle is that people would write things with such a sense of conviction that you would nearly think they knew you. I used to look at my Tattle once and there was so much misinformation on there, but the way the person would have wrote the statement, you would have thought they actually knew me, that they were privy to some kind of internal information, but they weren't. The first time, the only time really I read my title, I got some small comfort that none of these people really knew anything about me because so much of it was wrong. That it kind of gave me some small comfort that it wasn't people I loved, you know, running back the, you know, behind my back. And the notion that this is some kind of attack on free speech is laughable. Free speech is not freedom of consequences. And if you wanted to go on Tattle and say that you don't like my journalism, you thought my book was boring, and you think I have ugly hair extensions, that's absolutely fine. No one is going to sue you about that. But if you accuse people of scamming people, being a malicious parent, cheating on your partner, that is malicious, that is defamatory, and that will cost you a lot of money if someone takes you to court. So I'm not going to sue anybody because they think I'm a pain in the arse. But you can't make up lies about people and damage their reputations and expect to get away with it.
Has your experience with trolling been the reason why you started a podcast about it? Was that the biggest driver, or was it
Yeah,
seeing other people?
I felt so helpless, to be honest. When I was made aware of my title and read it, I just thought, you know, this can't be normal. Like, I come from a very normal family. My dad's a barman and my mammy works in a shop. And if somebody went into the shop every day and told my ma, I think you're disgusting and you don't deserve your job and you only have this job because someone fancies you would be arrested because that's harassment. And I don't see much difference between harassment offline as I do online, because the mental toll it takes on you. I mean, you only need to look at, even in this country, at people like Jackie Fox. Her daughter Nicole is no longer with us because of relentless online bullying. And the notion that it's less important because it's on the internet just doesn't fly in 2025. Everyone lives on the internet. Children now are born on the internet. So I felt at the time that as a journalist, when things like this happen, your natural inclination is to ask questions. So I decided to make a podcast in which I talked about my experience, but I also talked to a cyber psychologist who described just brilliantly how people act online and why it's different from how they act in person. The toll it takes on people, the type of people who troll, the type of people who get trolled. I then spoke to loads of different people who have been the victims of online bullying, whether that's celebrities, influencers, people of color, a trans woman, a disabled person, to try and get a feeling of, you know, not just the toll it takes on different communities, but why and how we can tackle it. And Jackie Fox was one of those people. Jackie Fox's daughter, Nicole, took her own life after relentless online bullying. And that's why our legislation in Ireland against online harassment is named after Nicole. But I think it's probably just your natural instinct as a journalist when something like this is happening. Your natural instinct is to do more journalism about it. And I have to say, you know, I'm not the worst victim in all this. I have great friends and family, and I had a wonderful support system. And my employers at the time were so good to me. But not everybody has that. Not everybody has that support system. And it can make you feel so isolated. It can make you feel like everyone is talking about you and everybody hates you. I worked in the Dáil, I worked in politics. And I used to go under the Dáil every day, dreading seeing people in case they had been on the internet and read these rumors about me that weren't true. Every person you meet, you panic that they might have read something about you that isn't true, and there's nothing you can do about it.
What about those people who are witnessing it? Like you said there, the people that are seeing it online or seeing the comments being made, like are we part of the trolling if we're sitting back and doing nothing about it? Is it
There
is
are
it
plenty of people who never posted on Tattle, but they would go on Tattle and read it every day or every week or whatever. And I'd also say that they're part of the problem. If you're clicking on Tattle and reading this bile the people are writing about other people, you are promoting it and that you're giving the website clicks, but also it doesn't stay online. This notion that you can ingest it and it doesn't go anywhere doesn't make any sense. If you read Tattle, if you read something about an influencer, so we'll use me for an example, right? So say you went on Tattle and you read something about me. Say that I crashed my car, for instance, right? This is
Okay.
just a hypothetical. So say you read on Tattle that I crashed my car. First of all, you don't know if I crashed my car. Someone just wrote it on Tattle. If you're in the hairdressers or you're talking to your mom or your auntie or whoever it is, and they say something about Aoife Muir, you're naturally going to say, oh, I heard she crashed her car. The notion that you can ingest all this information about a person and never pass it on to another person just isn't realistic. Just because you're reading it and not writing it, it doesn't mean that it's not going to get passed on into the real world. And it affected my real world life. Lies that were printed about me, lies that were posted about me, made it into the real world. And really malicious rumors that really affected my personal life. I was asked about it in the Dáil. I had an ex-boyfriend call me. You know, it doesn't stay online. And it goes back to my point that just because it's online doesn't mean that it doesn't matter, because it becomes real life. And the internet, for want of a better term, is real life now in 2025.
If there's someone going through this experience that you've gone through this evening and they're listening, what would be your piece of advice, or I suppose your pearl of wisdom from the terrible situation that you have found yourself in? Because it is so common, as you said, and it's affecting so many people on different levels, of course, but the chances are there is someone listening this evening that are in the throes of it.
Reach out to someone. For a long time, I thought I could cope with all this by myself, and I couldn't. I suffered in silence for a long time until, you know, I stopped eating and I stopped sleeping, and I was basically a shadow of myself. I started going to counseling. Now, I know not everyone could afford to go to counseling, or I know the waiting lists in this country are not, you know, feasible to use, but I personally reached out and went to counseling, and my employer was really good about it. But the first thing and the best thing you can do is talk to a parent, talk to your partner, talk to someone. You can, you know, there are avenues for you. You can report this if you're being harassed online. You can go to the Gardaí. And, you know, there's a number of things. Like when I first started going to the Gardaí, I kept saying to the guard, well, this isn't that important. You know, I don't want to waste your time. You're not wasting their time. If you feel harassed, you're being harassed, go and speak to the Gardaí. There are ways. There's a number of reporting website where you can report it online. If it's in school, especially, or college, go and speak to someone. This is so common. Like, not to denigrate anyone's experience, but it can be so isolating. You can feel like the only person in the world that this has happened to, but you're not. And there are systems in place. If it's, you know, and if it's available to you, go to therapy and go to counseling. Because think about it in the way, the example I used about my mommy working in the shop. If someone came in every day and shouted at you in the shop, you would be pretty shook up. And this is the same thing. Just because you can't see them doesn't make it any less disturbing. So I think, I hope that the last week and the Tattle story and everything else encourages people to think twice about being horrible online. I think we're all realistic enough to know that people will always be horrible online, because people always have the ability to be horrible. Everyone has light and shade within them. But there will also be people listening to this who are horrible online, who have written things on Tattle. And what I would like to say to them is that if Sebastian Bond, who ran Tattle, can be found through numerous bank accounts, a very sophisticated technology and software background, if he can be found, so can you. And there is no such thing as anonymity online anymore. So if you are thinking about harassing someone online, you should do it in the full knowledge that it's not anonymous and you will be caught, or you could be caught. And I think there's a notion that when people are horrible online, when you don't see the reaction, you can kind of tell yourself you're not doing anything wrong, but that's not the case. And you're lying to yourself, because no one could get to 2025 without hearing about the toll that online abuse takes on people. So I would like people who this is happening to at the moment to know they're not alone. And if it is happening, you can find me on Instagram. I've had a number of people message me in the last few days asking for help on Instagram, and I'm happy to point people in the right direction of places they can report it to.
What is
And
your
to the
handle if people are
Oh
looking to
yeah,
get a
sorry,
hold
and
of
my
you?
Instagram
Yes.
handle, is Aoife Grace Muir. You can find the podcast on there, and there's lots of information about Trolled and Tattle and everything else. So there are options and you don't have to suffer this alone. And for the people who have posted on Tattle, let this be a warning that you should probably stop.
Aoife, thanks so much for all of your honest thoughts this evening on The Hope. I really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing your story. And I'm sure it'll relate to at least one person this evening, if not many more. Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll catch up with you again on The Hope at some stage.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.